Good morning, Broadway family and Broadway friends. I trust that you had a week that was productive and one in which you were able to get things done and stay in your prayer life, because it's extremely important. Today's lesson is God helps those who help themselves. God helps those who help themselves. 2 weeks ago, I shared with you four things each of us should learn and practice during this uncertain times and times of uncertainty, and things that we should focus on so that when we are back together again, we will be stronger than when we left. We should attend. One was four aspects of our health. First was our physical health, physical well-being. Become physically active is what I encourage you to do. If it's no more than walking around the block or doing something, going to the park to walk or going out to the lake or anything close to you where you have some outside activity, where you become physically active, it has a great deal to do with your healing totally. Second was our mental well-being. Doing those things that stimulate you mentally, stimulate you to the point where you become more curious and want to learn more, do more, and create new things and learn from things that you have not tried before. It'd be a good idea to do some things that you've always wanted to do. It would increase your mental well-being. Then we talked about emotional well-being. That's human-to-human contact. Your human-to-human contact with family, neighbors, friends, those types of things where you share good news with each other. And one thing that I've encouraged for some years ago were people to meet and share only good news. No bad news. Meet in a group of three or four people and talk about the good things in your life, the people in your life, your family, your friends. And it was just called a good news conference, and where we'd have three or four people to actually meet to share good news. Someone said a long time ago, don't bring me no bad news. Well, these little good news conferences, I would encourage you to do that, to just meet with family or friends and just share good news. Bad news was outlawed. And lastly, but certainly not least, is our spiritual well-being, which is the subject of today's lesson. Our spiritual well-being, where we stay as close as we can to God in prayer, in thought, and in deeds. And I'll begin this with looking at developing an effective prayer life. Most of us pray continuously. Well, I want to dissect prayer because it will form the foundation of all the other three components of this life cycle we're talking about. Since we're yet apart and cannot participate in corporate prayer or pray together, I'd like to offer a couple of suggestions to improve our prayer lives. As children of God, we have the wonderful privilege of engaging God in prayer, anytime, anywhere. Through prayer, we can receive mercy and grace to help in times of need, Hebrews 4 and 14. Through prayer, we can find peace that guards our hearts and our minds. But the privilege of prayer assumes God will listen to our prayers. Proverbs 28:9 tells us that not all prayers are acceptable to God. Let me repeat that. Proverbs 28:9 tells us that not all prayers are acceptable to God. Indeed, God does not hear the prayers of all people. Isaiah 59:1 says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, but his ear too dull to hear. 59:2 reads, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. So we're to remain faithful, remain truthful, and remain in a spiritual sense and highly spiritual sense attuned to the word of God and to the ear of God. Do you know what qualifies as prayer that pleases God? Let's explore that a moment. Prayer that pleases God. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus had much to say about prayer, especially the kind of prayer which finds favor in God's sight. In this study today, Let us look at Matthew 6, 15, 5 through 15. That would be our anchor text. Matthew 6, 5 through 15, where Jesus taught his disciples regarding prayer. First, we find Jesus telling us what not to do in regard to prayer. Matthew 6 and 5 says, "Do not pray like the hypocrites, who love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets. This they do that they may be seen of men." Do not do that. Do not pray like the hypocrites pray. Jesus goes on to say, they have their reward. That is, they are indeed seen by men. But that is the extent of their reward, the praise of men. They have no reward or blessing from God, because the prayers were not directed to God. It was for self-aggrandizement. Jesus is not condemning all public prayer, evident from the fact that he himself prayed in public, as did Paul in Acts 27:35. The emphasis is the same as stated in Matthew 6 and 1. Do not do your deeds of righteousness before men to be seen by them. How then are we to pray? It's to be heard by God. How do we offer prayer that will be heard by God? Let's examine that a moment. This prayer that pleases God. And let's go to scripture to get an outline as to how we are to pray to be heard by God. Prayer offered to be seen by God, not by men. That starts our prayer to God with the mindset that this is directed to God, not for others. This is the main idea of praying in secret. The sincere and humble worshiper, one who is not interested in making a public display for the sake of enhancing his or her prestige, will find the secluded back room or closet to be most appropriate for his devotions. The person who prays much in secret is praying to be seen by God, not by man or others. Number two, prayer offered to be heard of God, not of men, Matthew 6 and 7. We must avoid the use of vain repetitions, as was often practiced by the heathen religions. The heathens tried to tire out their gods with such endless prayers. Mere formulas were repeated. The Jews had such prayer formulas. Catholics also have them in the form of their rosary. This is not condemning all repetition, but vain, insincere, useless repetition. Jesus repeated himself in prayer at Gethsemane. Matthew 26, 36 to 44. Paul repeated his request concerning his thorn in the flesh. Since your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him, prayers to be heard by God do not have to be filled with superfluous words. Have you ever noticed the briefness of prayers according to Scripture? Let me repeat that. Have you ever noticed the briefness of prayers recorded in Scripture? God is not swayed by the quantity of words, but by the quality of the heart in prayer. Prayers offered according to the pattern of Matthew 6, 9a. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Luke 11 and 2 said, Jesus then spoke about the practice of prayer, which the Pharisees loved to perform publicly. Rather than making prayer a matter between an individual and God, the Pharisees had turned it into an act to be seen by men. Again, to demonstrate their supposed righteousness, their prayers were directed not to God, but to other men, and consisted of long, repetitive phrases. Jesus condemned such practices. Prayer should be addressed to your Father who is unseen. and who knows what you need. It is not to be seen by men, but directed and focused on God. But Jesus also presented a model prayer for his disciples to follow. And that's one of the lessons that we want to take away from here, from this message today. This prayer is commonly called the Lord's Prayer, but it's actually the disciples' prayer, because it was Jesus teaching the disciples this prayer. So rather than the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer. This prayer, which is repeated by many Christians, contains elements that are important for all praying. Number one, prayer is to begin with worship. God is addressed as our Father in heaven. Worship is the essence of all prayer. Jesus used the word Father 10 times in the disciples' prayer or the Lord's Prayer. Only those who have true inner righteousness can address God in that way in worship. Reverence, number two, reverence is the second element of prayer. For God's name is to be hallowed, held holy and dear. That is, it is to be revered. The desire for God's kingdom, your kingdom come, is based on the assurance that God will fulfill all his covenant promises to his people. Prayer is to be including the request that his will be accomplished today on earth as it is when accomplished in heaven. That is, fully and willingly. Number five, petition for personal needs, such as daily food, is also to be part of prayer. Daily means sufficient for today. Not a storehouse, but sufficient for today. Daily needs, which causes you to pray daily. Number six, requests regarding spiritual needs such as forgiveness are included too. This implies that the petitioner has already forgiven those who had offended him or her. Sins as moral debts reveal one's shortcomings before God. Believers recognize their spiritual weakness as they pray for deliverance from temptation to evil. Jesus' words in Matthew 6, 14 and 15 explain this statement about forgiveness in Matthew 6 and 12. Though God's forgiveness of sin is not based on one's forgiving others, a Christian's forgiveness is based on realizing that he has been forgiven. Let me repeat that. Though God's forgiveness of sin is not based on one's forgiving others, a Christian's forgiveness is based on realizing he or she has been forgiven. Ephesians 4, 32. Personal fellowships with God is in view of these verses, not salvation from sin. One cannot walk in fellowship with God if he refuses to forgive others. Again, that bears repeating. One cannot walk in fellowship with God if he or she refuses to forgive others. The phrase "after this manner" suggests that this prayer is a pattern of praying, not a bottle prayer, not a stamped prayer as sometimes practiced. It is actually a pattern of praying. And let me share this pattern of proper prayer. First, simplicity. Notice the word "therefore" in verse 8. It connects what follows with what was said before. Jesus' pattern for prayer is an illustration in contrast to the many words used by the heathen. In the prayer itself, note the brevity of words. Then, in its content, proper prayer includes reverence for God and his name, his being and his character. Matthew 6 and 9. Prayer for the progress of God's kingdom and his will on earth. Matthew 6 and 10. Asking for physical necessities. Matthew 6 and 11. Also, our spiritual needs, Forgiveness of sin, Matthew 6 and 12. Protection and deliverance from evil, Matthew 6 and 13. And it goes on, praising God, Matthew 6, 13b. Offered with a merciful spirit. This indicated in the pattern of prayer itself in Matthew 6, 12, 14 and 15. Otherwise, we cannot expect mercy for ourselves. James 2 and 3, Matthew 18, 21 and 23. Prayer must be especially important to Jesus, as it is seen in the detail he gives. As we conclude this short lesson on prayer and pattern of prayer, and using the opportunity to communicate one-on-one with the Lord, and have that conversation, have that meditation, that alone time as a part of your spiritual health. This is not the only occasion in which Jesus taught on prayer. Later, his disciples would ask him to teach them to pray. Luke 11, 1 through 4. He taught them about the importance of persistence, persistent prayer. It's not like ordering an omelet or something at a restaurant. It's persistent prayer, faith, and humility in the prayer, Matthew 11, 5 through 13. But in this sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus sought to stress prayer that is designed to, one, be seen by God, not by man, to be heard by God, not by man. Who knows better what kind of prayer that is than he who now sits at the right hand of God, Jesus Christ? If we believe that God hears prayers, as Psalm 65 and 2 says, then he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And then let us be sure we offer the kind of prayers that pleases God. This will conclude our lesson for today, but I want us to focus on the notion of drawing closer and closer to God. Because of our separation, we don't have the support system within each other to move our faith in the direction of strengthening it. It only weakens our faith when we're separated without communications and affirmations and confirmations of the love we have for God and the love we have for one another. So we want to make sure that we remain in contact with each other as much as possible, because it's a trying time for all parties, for you, for leadership here, for the members of the church and their family members. So let us lean on one another. One of the things about family, and as a church family, families are meant to support one another. Families are meant to be there for each other. So after you conclude your prayer life, the idea is then to make contact with others, whether in your natural family or your Christian family. Contact others to see how they're doing. Talk to them about uplifting things. Not to bring all of our baggage and dump it on somebody in somebody's lap, because everybody carries their own burdens. But talk to someone about some of the uplifting things in your life. Inquire of them some of the uplifting things in their life. Because remember, misery loves company, and it will grow to a mountain from a molehill. So what we want to do is to be there for each other, to support one another. And using communications and prayer gives us an opportunity there to be able to move people to a place of peace, and to move you to a place of peace as God goes about the business of doing his business, and the time comes for us to once again reassemble. And as we reassemble, we come back fortified with the idea that our family is strong, the Christian family is strong. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for allowing us this opportunity to communicate, to be able to share your word, Heavenly Father, to be able to do those things that are necessary to strengthen your people. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we are living examples to all those who are suffering. By our example and our faith, Heavenly Father, we pray that we become tutors to others who do not know you. Tutors to others, examples to others who have walked away from you. Heavenly Father, we pray that our life become living examples for the many people who need you or have walked away from you in disappointment. And the way that we carry ourselves, Heavenly Father, will either be a light to them or continuance of the darkness within their hearts because they've been disappointed or have not known you. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you make examples of us to bring others to the light, to bring others to you. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.